career and technical education system as a whole, like everybody go to college thing. And of course, I think most everybody's, there's a lot of conversation around that right now. And anything specifically you'd like to share with the listeners?
For a long time, education was so focused on four-year, everybody has to go to a four-year school if you're going to be anything. That's what the focus was on. So all of our types of classes, career and technical education classes, were just kind of electives. You know, if you kind of wanted to do that, or if your mom or dad or whatever may have, you know, been a mechanic, may have done this, well, go take that class because you get a little bit of an interest in it. If they are able to complete a series of CTE courses, which we call, they would be a concentrator in a certain area, in this case, like welding, then that would also qualify them for one of the boxes, so to speak, that they have to check off for graduation. So the biggest piece is just that skilled workforce that we're needing.
We want to feed into those students because one day they're going to be working for us. They're going to be the next generation. So like, as much as we can feed into them, what you're going to be doing, what you're learning now is so important to our community and our nation. Like, America runs on jobs in the trades.
Welcome to Making Sparks, the podcast where we ignite your passion for metal fabrication and fuel your business success. Join industry leaders and dive deep into the world of metalworking. From business insights to tips of the trade, Making Sparks is your forge of knowledge. During each episode, discover success stories, innovative solutions, and expert interviews that light the path to business growth. Subscribe today and grow and improve your company, and let's make sparks fly together.
Welcome back to Making Sparks. I'm your host, Casey Velker. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Matthew Nix, and we're sitting here with the director of the Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center, as well as Hannah Lang with Nix Companies, to talk a little bit about the benefits that manufacturing plants can have if they work closely with their tech centers or with their tech schools, and some of the things that helps them with their communities and all those things that goes around working with your tech schools.
How many times did it take you to get that intro, Casey?
Third time's charm. Three times.
You know, I would also add, we're also just going to talk about the impact that the career centers just can just have on the local community and the education system. So not only, you know, the partnership between, businesses and the education system, which is a big reason why Hannah is here. She leads the charge for that for us. But we also want to just talk about in general about what you guys do and how that impacts the community. So thanks for being here. And we'll let you do your intro first, and then we'll kick it over to Hannah.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. I'm David St. Clair. I'm the director of actually District CTE District 46, which we have a career center on Lynch Road in Evansville. We actually serve five counties. So Posey, Vanderburg, Warrick, Spencer, and Gibson. So right now, I think it's a two-year program. Let me go back a little bit. It's a two-year program for juniors and seniors in high school. We have 21 different programs right now that fall under career and technical education. So next year, I think we're looking at an enrollment of close to 1,200 students.
Wow. So a couple things. One, our audience is from all across the country, so we rattled off some counties. But we're in southwestern Indiana, in the corner of the state. You are in Evansville, which is the metro area, but you're serving a community around an Evansville metro area. What are we, maybe 300,000 or so in the metro area?
That's pretty close.
Yeah. Just want to give the listeners kind of a perspective. We're a small, small, medium size metro community.
Like on the TV side, you say we're like market 130 or something like that.
Okay. I don't know what that means. But I would venture to say a lot of our listeners and a lot of our manufacturing businesses are in those small to medium sized metros like that. So I think it's very relatable, and there's probably transferable centers like Southern Indiana Career and Tech Center. And then the other thing, you use the acronym CTE, which
stands for Career and Technical Education.
Okay. Yeah. One of my jobs on the podcast is to ask all the dumb questions.
No, we have so many, education.
I have to ask those.
You know, we have so many acronyms. It's kind of hard to sometimes to follow along with what we're talking about. We throw them out really easily, but for a lot of people, we have to try to go back and explain what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt everybody. Can I do my dad joke?
Oh, yeah. First time you've asked to do it.
All right. So the editor who...
Must be a good one today. I'm really excited about it.
Well, the editor of the show who does the claps or the boos sent it to me. So most likely this will be a clap when he edits this. I thought it was pretty good. All right. You ready? All right, David. What's the worst thing about manufacturing tabletops?
I have no idea.
It's counterproductive.
Oh, geez. All right. But a boom, right? Ba-da-boom.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Good job, Mason.
I'll give you that one.
That's a good one, Mason. You did good. Better. Oh, actually, my 5-year-old son got claps last episode, so that's good. Anyway, let's get back to the show.
Yeah. We need to introduce Miss Hannah Lang.
Yeah, Hannah, go ahead and tell us what you do at Nix and kind of your role facilitating some of the work that they do with the Career and Tech Center.
Yeah, so I'm the administrative coordinator here at Nix, and I do a little bit of different things. So I do some HR, employee relations, recruiting, and then I also do some marketing, like internal marketing, work closely with our marketing manager. And I also do some admin work closely with Matthew and some of our other executives. And then I also plan events like our welding competition, and kind of going along with the relationship with the Southern Indiana Career Technical Center. We have a really good relationship with them, bringing interns into our facilities. And then we also just hosted our welding competition for our second year in a row at the tech center. And so just building those relationships is a lot of fun for me in my position, whether it be the events or the internal student side of it. That's a little bit of what I do. It's a little hodgepodge of everything, but it makes it fun, different.
And shout out to Miss Hannah, because I asked her about an hour or less before the podcast if she would join us today. Because I thought she would add, you know, value to the show. And women never like to be asked to be on camera last minute. So
I got that text. I was like, oh crap.
She was a trooper. And I also recognized that I'm her boss and she didn't want to tell me no. So my wife will probably kick me later for you on your behalf when she finds out I did that to you.
Yeah, she's with it too, because I get an email from her at 6 o'clock this morning. So I'm like, wow, okay.
Right. Hannah's on it.
Hey everyone, my name is Adam Schmidt with the ProFab Alliance, and this is another Spark of Knowledge. If your goals for an interview are to find out if somebody is a good welder, you can't do that from a conference room or an office. You know, they need to get out in the shop. But if your goal for an in-person interview is to find out, you know, are they going to be a cultural fit for our organization? Do they share the same values and beliefs? I highly suggest that you really sit down and come up with questions that really will drive answers back that you can judge upon whether they're going to be a good fit for your organization. Honestly, one of my favorite authors, his name's Patrick Lencioni, has just an expanded selection of great books. And the book that I want to talk about today is called The Ideal Team Player. And it really changed the way that we think about our team members and how we interview. So The Ideal Team Player breaks it down into three sections: humble, hungry, and smart, and in kind of a Venn diagram type. And if a person is the ideal team player, they fall right into the center of that. I guarantee it'll change the way you think about interviewing and bring value back to the hires and your organization as a whole.
Well, since it's fresh on our mind, you guys just finished the second welding competition at the Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center. Hannah, you kind of gave a little background on it. I'm going to ask David, what have you seen? I mean, this is the second one. What have you thought about the welding competition so far with the partnership with Nix?
Well, it's been, I think really for our school, for our students, our instructor, and we just changed instructors too. So it's, from the first year we did the competition to this year, there's been some fluctuation going on. So trying to get that lined out and all that. So props to Hannah for taking care of all that for us this year. She did a great job. So just evaluation wise, there you go. I'll throw that one in there. But, I think it's really neat that it just goes along with our partnership with Nix and what they've done for us for over, I couldn't even tell you how long we've been partnering with them, but bringing in where we have an industry partner come in to do a competition like that, because I reached out to some of our surrounding counties, not even the ones that come to the Career Center. in some of those areas, and CTE centers actually sent students down to compete as well. So we're getting our name out, and I think it's good for Knicks. It's good for us just to show what we do. But it's nice for Knicks too, just to be able to come in. And this year, I think half your employees were down there, which was great because it was great to see. They were wonderful to work with. They were talking to everybody and the communication was fantastic.
Yeah, it allows us an opportunity to get in front of the students and get our brand out there some more. And then we partnered with Casey's firm, Captivated Content, to produce a video. They produced a really nice video. And I think that's something that the audience should know too, is that we both, you know, we're able to, we promoted it on the front end, but then you put a really nice little, what do you call those?
Kind of like a recap video.
Recap video that you do for events. And, and then, you know, it's co-branded between our two organizations and just allows both of us to get more exposure. After the fact, we can share it on social media.
Well, and David mentioned, like, obviously having a lot of Knicks team members there. But the fun thing is the guy who won the pro competition wasn't even a Knicks team member. Not that Knicks has all the best welders, but
hosting the event. If our own people win it every year,
it would look really bad. Hey, people may not. I will say back. Though, you watch the judge. I mean, they don't know. It's all blind. Like, they're sitting there, this is a guy that don't know anything about the tools, but they got the tools out looking at the welds and stuff. And I was just like, oh, well, I guess they said the pro competition, who came in second, which I think the guy who came second was a Knicks guy. It was really close. But I think you mentioned reaching out to some of their CTE places. I think the gentleman who won the apprentice division was from out. He was from Pike County. So because when I was interviewing him, he said, he goes, yeah, I don't go to the career technical, we're not allowed to, like, we're not, like, it's not in our district. And I'm like,
again, give the listeners perspective. I mean, that's an hour or so outside of, you know, of our market. So traveled in to be a part of the competition, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I was just going to have Hannah. I mean, how do you think the partnership with the Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center for this welding competition, like, how has it helped? You know, we talked off camera that Knicks was going to possibly do a welding competition on their own, but it just made sense to partner with Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center. Why did it make sense?
Well, first of all, they have great facilities there. It's perfect for a competition setting. Each welder is able to have their own booth with their own welding machine.
And it's all the same.
It's all the same, yes.
Which is important.
Our shop environment, we have nice welding equipment, but it's not a consistent setup.
Yeah, yeah. So just the facility itself has been, you know, the perfect setup for a competition like this. But then just the relationship, like, that we've had with them, like we talked about, like, it's great promotion for SigTech. It's great promotion for us. Hang on. Time out. Mason, edit this out. The relationship that we've had with them, it's just strengthening that. Able to make connections with those students that go to the tech center and then also surrounding communities as well. Students that aren't even familiar with what the technical center has to offer. I think it's cool to be able to, you know, for them to be able to get exposure to people who wouldn't originally make a visit to the tech center.
To add something to Hannah's part too, is the suppliers that you all have, some of them are suppliers for us too, you know, on a much smaller level, but it's neat to see and to have them participate, donating materials, like consumables, those types of things.
One of the judges was from Lincoln Electric, which is really cool. And
we're getting welding helmets donated for prizes and things of that nature, and just creating the buzz. And also just, you kind of hit on this, but to take it a step further, folks coming in for this competition that would have otherwise never been in the building. Yeah.
Well, parents were there. Like,
you got parents there,
were there. It was really cool to see, like, a community event.
And they're going to go tell people, even our team members that would have never stepped foot inside the building. You know, I mean, they might have a son or daughter that's in middle school, and they were like, wow, that's a really nice place. And now all of a sudden they're going to encourage their kids to explore that. And maybe they wouldn't have.
And I will say that the sponsors that I reach out to, that we reach out to, like, they are so excited to be able to donate to a competition where it promotes trades and where it promotes students, because we know, and our suppliers know, like, that's our next generation of workers. So just being able to get their name out there and be able to provide for those students, I think they were really excited about it. And I think it was just cool to have the parents there. They're excited to see their students compete. Yeah, we're just trying to really, you know, make it a big production, make it exciting for them.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and for us too, the other piece for us is we've already been thinking about how can we build off of what Nick's has started with us in that competition arena to where, you know, some of our other programs, could we do the same thing with other partners, which it just continues to, you know, hopefully it'll continue to grow.
Yeah.
But that's another reason, you know, we appreciate what Nick's has done for us and coming to us with the idea of the competition itself. So,
yeah, cool.
It's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Well, I was just going to have you, if you want to ask a little bit about maybe some of the trends in the CTE system. I don't know. We have a little note there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just curious, what are you seeing right now in the career and technical education system as a whole? Like, trends, and you know, we talked just, I think maybe it was off camera earlier, but you know, just the whole everybody go to college thing, and of course I think most everybody's, there's a lot of conversation around that right now, and there seems to be some movement and trends with different things, but anything specifically you'd like to share with the listeners?
How much time we have here, but I could go on for a long time. No, the nice thing is for career and technical education, you know, there's, for a long time, education was so focused on four-year. Everybody has to go to a four-year school if you're going to be anything, if you're going to make a good living, if you're going to, you know, whatever it may be. But that's what the focus was on. So all of our types of classes, career and technical education classes, were just kind of electives. You know, if you kind of wanted to do that, or if your mom or dad or whatever may have, you know, been a mechanic, may have done this, well, go take that class because you got a little bit of an interest in it. Well, then with, you know, what has transpired in regards to a workforce and, you know, workforce getting older and those skilled employees starting to retire, and we just need a larger workforce that have those skills, CTE's kind of come back to the forefront. And then in Indiana, anyway, I know that graduation requirements, they changed how students could qualify for graduation. And one of the areas is in the CTE realm. If they are able to complete a series of CTE courses, which we call, they would be a concentrator in a certain area, in this case, like welding, then that would also qualify them for one of the boxes, so to speak, that they have to check off for graduation. So all of a sudden, CTE got elevated back to probably where it should have been all along. But the biggest piece is just that skilled workforce that we're needing. And that's not saying kids can't go on to college or go get a 2-year degree or whatever, because most employees that are, all of our partners that we talk to, for the most part, they want their employees to be educated, go back to school, do what, you know, to be able to achieve other things as well. So, you know, I think that's the thing that you're seeing more now in CTE in that area, that it's, people are starting to realize what opportunities are there, what a person can actually earn, what kind of living that can provide them. And it's a lot of these CTE areas are not, you know, the old CTE areas, what they used to be. They're, you know, with technology now and the way things are a lot cleaner. They're not as, you know, all of that. They're still, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot that you're going to get dirty. You're going to have to work hard. But if you do those things, there's great opportunities for students out there.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is evidence of a pendulum swing or a trend is how many folks you see in CTE programs with parents that are college educated and have white collar jobs.
Right.
And their kids are in there, you know, but I think that is probably the most evident of a mindset shift.
Yeah, we're getting there. You know, still parents, I think a lot of them still have that, you know, for Hannah to be successful, you know, you have to go get a 4-year degree, you know. And that's not necessarily the case anymore, because again, we have so many employers around here that have opportunities, but they also have tuition reimbursement. So you can start with a company and get that career started. And then if you want to, if, you know, if being able to move up or that upward mobility in that company requires you to have an education, there's opportunities to do that. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of getting that base set and really getting, getting that foundation, and there's, you know, it just provides so many more opportunities than going, and I'm not talking bad about a 4-year degree by any means, because I've got one, but you know, if you can get yourself ahead where you don't go into debt and you have those types of things, so you're just setting yourself up for success. And there's just, again, I can say this every, you know, all day long, there's just so many opportunities, because people really don't know, students and parents don't know all of the jobs that are within NICS, just yeah. using you all.
Yeah.
So there's just so many different opportunities.
Yeah. And I think you'll never regret having a useful skill set, even if you go on to a 4-year mm-hmm. college. I mean, A, it's just going to make you that much more valuable in the workforce. And B, you're just going to have a usable skill set that you can take pride in. And I think there's something to be said for that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Here's some quick math for the manufacturing leader. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you get to keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, borrowing, it feels like everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform for one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and it can be accessed from anywhere. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. There's a reason over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/chips. That's netsuite.com/chips.
I'm going to shift focus a little bit, and it's going to be more of a conversation between Matthew and David here, and Hannah will probably chime in as well. Why should manufacturing companies, fabrication companies, I'm thinking about our audience, why should they even care about getting involved? I mean, the obvious reason getting involved with their local tech centers or their local tech schools is, you know, cultivating talent and cultivating their next generation of workers. But there's probably other reasons. Are there other reasons that you see that they should be getting involved?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, you hit on the obvious reason. I mean, we want to cultivate talent. We want a talent pipeline, which we've been effective at, by the way. I mean, it's like most anything. I mean, you get out of it what you put into it. So if you invest time and energy and you do things like hosting, we brought the idea to them about the welding competition. Wasn't my idea. Some other folks within the organization. I think my brother was a big part of that, and our HR director, Angela, who Hannah works closely with. But, you know, doing things like that positions us well so that we do have those strong relationships and that we're in the building a lot and that we can attract those folks for internships and full-time jobs. We've got a great track record of turning those interns from the Career and Tech Center into full-time offers. I'd say, I'm just doing back the napkin math, we're probably two-thirds. I would say about two-thirds of our interns we extend full-time offers to. So, and they don't all stick around forever, but we have a few guys that have been with us now 6 or 7 years that are moving into leadership roles that started out as interns or right out of tech school, which we actually had a couple of them on the show here recently. But so that's the obvious one that you mentioned. The other thing I would say is just, you know, investing in the community as a whole. And, you know, I have the quote I say all the time about a rising tide lifts all ships. And I think, you know, what goes around comes around. And so if we invest in our community, we're going to make the community stronger, the workforce stronger. Even if they never come to work for us, maybe they go, you know, Toyota is a large, you know, automotive manufacturer in our community. They employ literally thousands of people. And maybe the folks that we're working with end up going to work at Toyota, and 10 years from now, they're sending work to us.
That's funny, because that's literally what I was going to say. Like, I say that anybody, like even in our, like the advertising marketing world, you know, I've worked with agencies that don't get involved with their local advertising chapters. They don't get involved with their local colleges and stuff. And I'm like, it's not even if you're not hiring, getting involved there It's a long-term marketing play, basically. And what I'm saying is it's relationship building, it's networking. And like you said, like if they're going to these schools, they're probably trying to get an education to get into the career or to get into a career in the trades that would turn into possibly a relationship down the road. Yeah.
Yeah. We talk about brain drain and all, and all of our kids and leaving the area, everybody wants to get out. I don't think that's actually necessarily true, but back to your point, Matthew, I think we need to invest in our communities, and Poseyville and Evansville, we're not right next together, but we're close enough to that we do share a lot, whether it's talent, employees going either direction. So, but it's just I think for the betterment of our area, I think everybody needs to get involved with the community. And I think whether it's school side or whether it's employees or our industrial partners or whatever it may be, just to make our community better and to give the people that live here with us, because we're going to be around them all the time. So, to make those people, give them the opportunities and make it a better place.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say, I actually have a story about like the Career and Tech Center, and you were talking about how there's been a shift, right? That the high schools are starting to push. I will say we've been blessed at North Posey. I feel like they've had some internal classes that have gotten you to cultivate a little bit of going into the trades. My dad made me take ag mechanics. He made me take manufacturing because he goes, he thought the ag mechanics, we'd learn to work on our cars, but we learned to work on like tractors and small engines. But I will say the coolest thing that actually drove me into a video was Tech Center. It was like the Tech Center came in and talked, and then so did a few diesel colleges came in and they showed videos. And there were these high energy videos that were like, it almost made me want to go to like diesel college. And I'm not a good welder. I'm not good at any of that kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm going, I was about ran through a wall to go over there. So that was story time with Casey I really remember the videos just sitting there in Mr. Wassmer's class. So anyway.
And that inspired you to get into video.
Exactly. Huh? It was one of the reasons. Also I skateboarded and filmed all my friends. So that also inspired me to get the video too.
That's good.
We're getting close here on, what are some other things?
Yeah, I've heard there's a waiting list to get into the tech center. Is that true?
Correct. We have, our classes are pretty finite. We have so many seats. We use welding, for example. We got 24 welding booths, one instructor. So we can accept 24 juniors every year. So then, those juniors will become seniors next year. So, hopefully we'll keep those 48 students. But right, we have a waiting list. I bet our waiting list for welding is probably a good 60 students.
Wow. So the old adage that like the flunkies go to welding school, that day's over.
Because
if you don't, you sort of have to apply, right? So if you're not getting good grades, you're not getting into the.
Right. Because we look at attendance is probably the top thing we look at just because
Thank you.
We're trying to get them ready for you all.
Is that communicated to them?
Yes, hey, absolutely.
If you're showing up to school every day, that's going to reflect whether you can get into the trade school.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're trying, one of our biggest things that we try to do is make sure that they're ready or prepared. It doesn't matter if they're going into the workforce right away, or even if they're going to college to start with. You got to be on time. You got to be there every day get prepared. So, attendance is our big one. We'll look at grades. And most of that's kind of iffy because it just depends because we have to figure out a way to navigate through all of those applications. But we'll look at grades. We'll talk to counselors because some of us just weren't great at school. Sitting in a classroom and having to regurgitate information back and forth all the time. A lot of us were more hands-on. So, we'll talk to counselors, get a good feel about that. But then discipline's the other one. We want to make sure that we have students there that want to be there. And most of it is based off of interest, that they really have a good idea. This is what we want to do. We do get some kids that come out there that they decide, oops, wait a minute, this isn't for me. I don't want to mess around with hot metal and flames and all that, sparks. I don't want to do that. But I think that's a good thing if they're doing it still while they're in high school and not when they get to college or something like that. So we can kind of eliminate some of those thoughts from them too as well. So they can kind of narrow in on what their passion may be. But yeah, there is an application process, and you know, those are some of the things that we look through or go through to narrow down those students that get in. You know, we'd like to expand. That gets pretty costly. You know, and then space, all of those things that go into that. Because we have I think when the Career Center was built back in 2006, we got 200,000 square feet, a little over 200,000 square feet under roof. It was about a $40 million, $60 million project back then. I don't know what that would equate to now, but trying to expand those types of things, when you're talking about public education and those dollars, it gets a little difficult.
But. Sure, yeah. Because there's quite a few public school systems that are all feeding into your...
Correct, yeah. We've got 21 different brick and mortar schools that are able to send students to us. We accept... public schools, of course, students, private, parochial, online students, any of those homeschool students, that they can apply and come to us as well.
Yeah, that's cool. So just to wrap things up here, I think one more question I'd be interested to hear about is kind of what's next. I mean, you touched on that a little bit, but maybe, you know, I think the big scale would be you want to add on and be able to bring more kids in, but maybe what's something more immediate that you're excited about and that you guys are working on?
Yeah, we are. We've gained a little space in our building. We had a project-based high school that was there, and they were kind of outgrowing the space, and they moved to another location. So it opens up. They're basically classrooms, though. So, you know, trying to put a welding lab in a regular classroom doesn't work. So, you know, part of it is, you know, with the school corporation, working with my downtown administration, working with industry partners like NICS, you know, what can we do as a group? You know, I can't put everything on NICS to help us do something, but it's like, what can we do as a community? Back to that idea, how can we expand, or how can we give students more opportunities? Because we've got a ton of students with interest. You know, I talked about the waiting list just on welding. We have waiting lists in almost all of our classes. So, which is a good thing for CTE, but it's, you know, unfortunately, we're not providing enough capacity to give those kids opportunities. So it's getting out and trying to figure out other ways, more innovative ways to be able to expand and create those types of classrooms for students and activities for students.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope that we can continue to work on that and expand that.
Oh, don't worry. I'm coming back up to talk to you all here before too long and how we could do that. But
well, to wrap up, how could, you know, you were talking about, like, you know, these career and tech centers are part of bigger organizations. How can, like, other manufacturing, fabricating companies, if they probably know of their local tech centers, but maybe they don't know how to get a hold of them, as in, like, is it as simple as, like, going to the website and, like, reaching out?
Absolutely. And if there are, I don't, you know, and I'm not sure how the other states are set up exactly in regards to their career and technical education programs, but yeah, absolutely. Reach out to your school corporations, find out if they have CTE programming. I guarantee they would be super excited to be able to partner, have the option to work with a company like NICS. You know, I use, and this isn't, you know, but it is, but you know, I use NICS all the time as an example of a great partnership, because, you know, you all are a family owned operation, which helps us, because sometimes when you get with the larger companies, it's harder to get through the different layers. But it just shows what you can do if you have a great partner. And NICS isn't right around our back door. You know, they're what, 30 miles away from us in another community, but they've made a commitment to really working with our technical center, our students in our program, but then also the high school that's here in Poseyville, yeah, and some other things.
Actually, so, later today, I have a meeting with the superintendent of our high school. I mean, it's totally a coincidence, but they're going to do a multi-million-dollar CTE expansion at our local high school, which awesome. Right now feeds into the current tech center, and I presume still will in some capacity, but there's a waiting list. There's funds available. So North Posey's looking to do their own, and how can we get involved in that as well? And so, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that about small businesses too, because a lot of our listeners are smaller businesses. And I think the natural inclination might be, well, Toyota's working with them or so-and-so's working with them. But I'm glad to hear you say that you guys actually appreciate having some of the smaller folks. And so I would just tell our listeners, because we have a lot of owner operator listeners, a lot of small, medium shops that, you know, don't assume that your current tech center doesn't want your involvement just because the big corporate folks are there.
No, we, you know, we have a lot of one-off mom and pop shops, you know, it's what we kind of call them, that we partner with. If they can take a student, that's fantastic. You know, if they only take one, we'd love to have them because it's an opportunity. It's a different setting. And a lot of our students,
experience.
Exactly. Because a lot of our students would rather be with a small group instead of with a big company where you get lost in. So, you know, that I think that's a plus in a lot of ways for career centers to be working with those small groups.
I will say, like, the smaller businesses, I feel like they have a more personal relationship where they're able to, you know, have maybe a little bit more flexibility. And I think it just goes back to, like, we want to feed into those students because one day they're going to be working for us. They're going to be the next generation. So, like, as much as we can feed into them, we think the better. And, you know, building those relationships, helping them realize, like, what you're going to be doing, what you're learning now is so important to our community and our nation. Like, America runs on jobs in the trades. So I just think it's, you know, super important to get out there and build those relationships with our students and help them realize, like, you know, what you're doing is important. The things that you're going to be doing is impacting so much more than what I think you even realize.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. Yeah.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Hannah, for coming on the show. To our listeners, don't forget to rate us, review us, refer us if you really enjoyed the show.
Share it
on social media. Really, like, the goal with Making Sparks is to inspire and educate owner operators, or even, you know,
leaders
in the manufacturing and fabrication industry. So definitely share it with your fellow leaders. So.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Appreciate it.